How you doing, my friend? This is Alex Pardo, and I am excited to bring you episode 332 on the Flip Empire Show.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
What's going on? What's going on? I hope you are having an awesome day. I hope everything is going amazing in your business. And I'm really pumped about today's episode because I have a good friend of mine, somebody who I've built a pretty close relationship with over the course of the last year and a half, 2 years, a gentleman by the name of Joe Lieber, the otherwise affectionately known in some circles as the Ghettoologist. I think that's his name. Ghettoologist. Man, I may be butchering it, but long story short, my good buddy Joe is a very, very successful real estate investor in Cleveland, Ohio. As you're about to hear, he's been in the business 20 plus years and has amassed and built a rental portfolio of single family properties, 100% free and clear. He's got over 100 of them. So you can just kind of guesstimate and do the math on how much monthly cash flow he is generating from 100 plus free and clear single family rentals. But it wasn't always like that. And he made a lot of mistakes on his journey to financial freedom. And we really deep dive that and go into his story, into his journey, a lot of the mistakes that he made going back to when he first started acquiring properties in Cleveland. At one point, he'll share how in 2009, you know, after the crash, he was sitting on about 80 rental properties, of which every single one of them had debt. They were all leveraged. And it was one important conversation with a very well-known guru that got him going in a different direction and was able to, you know, he was able to avoid what could have been a disaster there. But he also shares and talks about how he got started and how he first did it is the complete opposite of what he recommends and what he would do today to build up a rental portfolio. What have been some of the challenges? How has he structured it? And then what is he doing on the creative side? And how is he, you know, we talk about passive income and if there's such thing as passive income when it comes to rental properties or if that's a myth and how he truly generates passive income. So I think you are going to get a lot out of this show. Let me know, tag me on social media and do me a favor, share this episode, share any episode with your friends, with your family, with anybody that you think would benefit from this type of content. That's why I do it. So thank you so much in advance and let us dive right in with my man, Joe Lieber. Joe Lieber, my man, welcome to the Flip Empire Show, brother.
Thanks for having me, sir. Thank you for having me.
So tell me, this feels very long overdue. You and I have been working together, I feel, for a good, year or so, year and a half, man. What's taking you so long to come on? I remember the first time I invited you, you're like, nah, man, I don't want to jump on your show. I'm not interested in that little flip show you have. Like, I'm messing with you, man. I'm totally messing
with you. I would never say that.
I know. I'm kidding, man. I'm kidding. So how you doing? How's everything in Lieberland?
I'm doing good, man. I'm a one-trick pony. Rental properties. That's my game, dude.
I'm glad you mentioned that because that's going to be the heart of today's episode. For people that don't know you, Joe, give a little bit of background. You don't have to get way deep into your story, like how you got started in the business, but just kind of briefly touch on, you know, what you were doing prior to getting into real estate. And then we can kind of, I'm going to ask some questions and we'll kind of pick through certain parts of your journey. But once you do that, I'd like for you to give people a kind of an overview of what your business looks like today and your rental portfolio, what that consists of over there in Cleveland. And we'll go from there.
Perfect. Well, before I got into real estate, I was sitting in math class in high school. I've been in the business 22 years, man. I started right out of high school, June in 1997. Pretty much right out, I got into the business. No, I don't come from a wealthy family, and no, my parents were not in the business. Self-started this business myself. Had to figure it out a different way. I'm a Midwest guy, born and raised Cleveland, Ohio. You know, this is the Rust Belt up here, and I didn't want to do that. You know, I saw a dad as a machinist, a factory worker, saw a mom as a secretary. I was like, dude, there has got to be a better way. So, self-taught all the way up, 22 years in. I have done every aspect of this business, man. The brokerage side, I'm still a broker to this day. Landlording, rehabs, property management, multifamily, you know, it's all different aspects, you know, and here we are. It's evolved all the way 22 years later where I live a lifestyle because of the passive income of my rental properties. Yeah. People pretty much know me for that. And I'm also a turnkey operator here, but I practice what I preach, where a lot of operators don't. I do live the lifestyle that I'm selling. So,
right. For you, Joe, when you 22 years ago, 23 years ago or so, when you got into real estate, did you always know that it was for the cash flow? Like, in other words, did you jump into rentals right out of the gate? I've shared my story here, you know, on several episodes, how I think that's probably one of the biggest learning lessons in my career, Joe. I've been in this business 13, 14 years. And the first 11 to 12 of those years, I was just transaction to transaction to transaction, and hundreds of deals later, you know, make a bunch of money and you have a nice lifestyle, but there's not a whole lot of cash flow, right? So for you, did you make that mistake, or early on did you know, hey, I'm getting into this business for cash flow, for the lifestyle? And was that your aim and focus from the get-go?
That's a great question. Yes, it was. It was, because even for, as a young boy, 17 years old, sitting in my parents' house, I wanted to live a lifestyle by design and not by default.
Yeah.
And I knew even way back at 18 years old in this business that I didn't want to be transactional, right? I wanted to set it up once, I wanted to build that asset, and I wanted to have it basically pay me the rest of my life.
Right.
And I don't know, man. Sit there and think about it now, like, was I lucky to have that vision? No one taught me that. I just saw that stuff. Maybe it stemmed from, honestly, I asked myself what it stemmed from. And I remember back in the 90s, Carlton Sheets, Russ Whitney.
No Money Down.
No Money Down, late night TV. But the thing was, they had the lifestyle that I wanted. They had sitting in front of the boats and the cars and the houses and the palm trees swaying. Really cool. That even sucked me in from a young boy, man. So I've always been, you know, set it up once, have it pay you the rest, as long as you can make it pay you the rest of your life.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Possible.
So now fast forward, you know, if you don't mind sharing, what does your rental portfolio look like? I mean, feel free to share numbers or not share numbers, but for people listening that may have been in my shoes years ago, or are in this business, but they feel like they're going from deal to deal and they're just hustling and going, talk to those people, maybe inspire them some with, you know, what your business looks like today. You and I were just talking before I hit the record here. You're like, man, I'm on summer vacation. I'm here at the home office and you're kicking back. I shared a joke that I'm like, when I grow up, I want to be Joe Lieber. So.
Yeah, man, I am off June 1 to August 23rd. I haven't seen my office. I don't plan on seeing it anytime soon.
I love it.
So, but it took many years to make that happen, right? And with the right systems and processes, you can do things like that, especially with rental property investing, because again, it's not transactional. But just to take you on a little journey here, it wasn't where it is now, obviously, when I started it off, you know? When I started off, obviously, I had a mortgage property, right? So, you know, you're taking your mortgage, you're putting, hell, at that time, you could do like no money down loans on rental properties, all kinds of stuff. So you're doing things like that. You're putting 5% down, just the minimal you can. And then you always have a hurdle jump through, right? Like nothing is easy, right? So I did that and it's freaking the years, probably around the year 2000. And the bank tells me, well, you got your 10 mortgages. Yeah, so I have 10 mortgages. Let's go for number 11.
Right.
Like, no, it doesn't work like that way, dude. Yeah. I'm like, what? Like, I couldn't believe some of this stuff, you know? And then I had to, I started financing houses and family members' names, right? Mom put 10 in her name. Dad put 10 in his. My brother got involved. I even had my grandparents putting houses in their names, right? So then it evolves into maybe this is a family business. And then, you know, the evolution. So I just tell you a story. So you learn and tweak as you go. So the year is like 2009, right? Mm-hmm. Real estate market's in the tank. I got like 80 single family homes. And the reality was I was having a lot of turnover. And with the mortgage debt, I wasn't really cash flowing.
Right.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, geez, like, what am I going to do? And this goes into another thing that we should talk about is having a mentor or a coach or some type of training. I did not have a mentor or a coach from 1997 till 2009. And don't ever do that. Don't ever do it the way I did it. Spend the money, get the coaches, get the mentors. It really takes you from, I always say, I took the stairs when I much rather wish I would have pushed the button to the elevator, right?
I get it.
And dude, like for folks listening, like invest in your education. You know, I've been in this business, this is going to date me a little bit, but I've been in this business so long that like there was no Google when I started. There's no such thing. there was no cell phones really. Like there was pagers. I had a pager because a cell phone was too expensive to call because a cell phone costs like a quarter a minute. Like this is like for a little bit of the older guys, right?
I can't even think back to the time where we did, I can, but it's hard to remember the time where we didn't have Google and we didn't have the resources and technology that we have now. People take it for granted, man. It's so easy if you just have the roadmap, you know what I'm saying? And you take action.
Yeah, man. All of it's there. You know, I had to go to the library and check out books to learn real estate, but a long way up. Don't do that. Nowadays, all the podcasting out there and information out there, you know, take advantage.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's 2009, right? I'm like not cash flow. I don't really know what to do. I finally invest my first, a little bit on bottom money. I go to a Ron LeGrand event, right?
The Godfather.
The Godfather, Ron LeGrand. So I was very fortunate. I actually didn't even really invest any money. My buddy was going and he said I could go with him on his ticket for $500 opposed to paying the $3,000 or $4,000 to go. That's how against it was. So that I didn't want to put money in my education. So stupid, right? Anyway, so I get down to Ron's event and it was a course was about, it was like real estate business management for seasoned investors. And, you know, I thought I was, you know, Billy Badass over here with all these properties and I wasn't making any money. And, Ron sits me down. I was very lucky, by the way, to go there because it was a week before Thanksgiving and he had a really bad turnout. He had like 9 people show up to his event that for those 3 days.
Wow.
And Ron really had to spend some special time with us, right? And then at night, he would always take us over to his restaurant. He had a restaurant at the time called The Grands in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And we would get like extra Ron time. It was like, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful for it. But anyways, Ron sits me down and he goes, listen, boy. We all know Ron. If you know Ron LeGrand, he's an older man. He goes, listen here, boy. You're going to lose everything unless you do this, this, and this. And what he wanted me to do was take my portfolio and switch it from rental to rent to own.
Mm.
And defer all the maintenance to the tenant. Right?
Really quick, Joe, before we keep going, for people listening that might not know or have an idea, can you just quickly define rent to own?
Yeah, rent to own is where the tenant has the opportunity to buy the home. You're creating a contract that says you can rent this. We'll take a portion of your rent toward a down payment. And then you get a bank loan and you own the asset. You cash me out, basically.
Yeah.
But during this process, the tenant is responsible for the property. It's like home ownership training 101 is what it is. Mm-hmm. So Ron teaches me this system. And teaches me that like basically during the economy we're in and things that you're going to need to not only defer maintenance to the tenant through rent to own, but you're going to have to do as is properties. Where when you have an eviction, give it to the next person as is. Make them do the clean out, the sweat equity. It'll vest them to the property. It'll get them to pay and it'll save you a fortune in contract. And I was probably spending about $10,000 to $12,000 a month in contract. It was sucking up all my cash flow. Yeah, it was terrible, man.
Dude.
That was at the time. So I did this. I made this switch. I started calling tenants saying, hey, did you ever think that you might have the ability to own this home? We can switch this to a rent to own. The only difference is you're going to have all repairs to the property. People were on board. They loved it, right? So I made the switch and instantly, pretty much within three months, I started making about $10,000 a month on my about 80 houses at the time, right? Because they were still on mortgage and all that. Mm-hmm. So that was one big switch that happened for me that helped me increase my
learn. I have a question for you because I want to hear more about this, man. This is fascinating to me. This was 2009. You said that you owned about 80 rental properties. They all had debt on, right? How did you get through that period? Like, were you fortunate that they were performing and you had people paying rent, or like, how were you able to, especially during that time, how'd you come out of that?
It wasn't great. It wasn't great times. You know, people would tell me, I told them my old 80 rentals, and they would be like, oh, you're making so much money. I'm like, yeah, not really, dude. I'm working as a real estate broker by day. Or I shouldn't say that. I work as a real estate investor by day, real estate broker by night. I mean, I literally go out and show houses to people and take listings and all. I just try to make ends meet because I had all these houses, but with the mortgage debt was so heavy that I bought them, you know, from 98 to really about 2007, where a lot of them were bought. And I paid a lot of money for them. And it's before the bottom fell out of the real estate market. And I just couldn't, I don't know, man. It wasn't working, dude. You know, I didn't have the tightest management systems and screen processes, and contractors take advantage of me. And I was still wasn't making a lot of money.
Yeah, but you want to know what, Joe? It sounds like you kind of came out relatively unscathed, considering a lot of the people that you and I both know around that time that lost everything.
I did. That was my one constant at the end of the day. And I want to throw this out there too, Alex. Not everybody invests for cash flow. Now, I might have been trying to do that, but think about this for 1 second. Some people invest for appreciation. Some people invest for depreciation, right? I mean, there's writing off material, labor, repairs. You know, the IRS lets you depreciate home over 27 and a half years. I mean, some people invest just to take down their taxable income, right? Some people invest for amortization, right? If you really think about the amortization concept, you know, you buy a house, you put a little bit of money down, and someone else pays the house off, even if it is over 30 years.
That's right.
We see people in my market in Cleveland, Ohio, who buy homes in your market in Miami, where it's expensive real estate. They'll buy the $300,000-$500,000 home, make it a rental property, and by the time retirement comes, it's paid for. So that would be someone that might be investing more for amortization, right? But there's different reasons. And then you can also invest for 1031 tax exchange. I know investors that invest just for 1031 tax exchanges. But there's multiple reasons. So at that time in my life, I was investing solely for cash flow.
Okay.
I want to add one. Go ahead.
I was going to ask, would you say that's an important lesson for people to know, is before you buy a property, understand the exit, understand the why behind why you're purchasing a property?
Well, sure. You should understand it well. And I was getting benefits I didn't even know at that time, because my real estate broker income wasn't huge. It was good for, especially for a Cleveland guy, but it was being wiped out with depreciation. Uh-huh. Through my real estate. So I ultimately wasn't even paying taxes because I had so many mortgages. I'm throwing hypothetical numbers out there. I could make $100,000 as a real estate broker and almost have tax-free money because my depreciation was so heavy on my 80 rentals that it was a negative. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it was like free money, but I didn't really understand it at the time. Uh-huh. It took me a while to really process that. It's a process. You got to go through. You got to evolve. You got to understand. So, my point is there's not just one way to invest. It's not always just for cash flow. There's other reasons to invest in real estate.
Yeah, no, it's a very good point. Going back to Ron LeGrand, how long did that process take you of converting your 80 rentals into rent-to-owns?
I did it quick because I had no choice. It happened over 6 months.
Okay.
Within 6 months, I was cash flowing.
Okay. Got it. And so now what, 10 years later, if you don't mind sharing, what's the rental portfolio look like? You know, talk to us a little bit about where the business is at today.
Yes. So just so people can understand though, after I fixed this in 2009, houses were really cheap in Cleveland. When I say really cheap, Alex, I'm talking like $5,000 to $25,000 for a single family home, 3-1. And I needed to buy these things, right? And that was the first time I ever, at that point, I was in the business for 13 years, first time I had ever raised private money. So I started going out there buying houses, like four or five, I would buy for $100,000. And then I would buy them I would go get money from a private investor, not hard money, private investor, at like 8 or 10% on a 5-year fully amortized loan. Mm. So those five houses, I would break even, or I could even cash flow on those houses. But I knew in 5 years.
Rapid pay down,
dude. They're all paid off.
Yeah.
So I did that and I started going gangbusters. I got myself up to about 217 single family homes by 2014.
Okay.
So yeah, I had a lot of debt on them, but I was buying to buy. I went through a period of time, man, where like I would buy anything, dude. You could call me and be like, yeah, I'll take it. You know, it was just wild, wild west. So I've made some mistakes.
Okay. And were you managing all those properties?
I was. I always self-managed my portfolio.
Were you just going crazy working 18-hour days when you were managing 200 plus properties? Because that seems very overwhelming and daunting to me.
It is. It's a lot. Now, I will say I did have a team, of course. When I say self-manage, I would always sit in the driver's seat. I was just directing all day.
Yeah, quarterbacking.
It's a lot of work quarterbacking. It's a lot of work to quarterback, though. Leasing agent, disposition team, bookkeeper, admin, runners, project managers. Like, it's a lot going on. It's a lot of moving parts, right?
Yeah, right.
really, really will wear you out quick. So I needed to decide by about 2014. I said, hey, listen, we either got to go to 300 plus doors and staff up and get better people, better quality, even employees, or I need to come down to where this can be like kind of just where I can take care of this, right? Mm-hmm. So because I had some garbage assets, I felt, I'm like, you know what? What if I sell 100 doors, take any equity I have, and pay off the existing 100, 120 doors, and have a nice, tight portfolio paid off?
Bingo.
Bingo. So that's what I did. And by January of 2017, that was the first quarter of 17, I can successfully say everything was paid off, man.
Yeah, that's incredible. So you took the words out of my mouth. I literally going to say for people listening, because you and I have had this conversation, and I'll share with you know, I'll share here on the podcast our relationship, and you're a big inspiration and a big reason why I decided to plant my flag and start buying rentals in a particular part of Cleveland. But what does that feel like? You have over 100 single family assets paid off, generating. Yes. Very, very handsome cash flow. What's that feel like, man?
Dude, you know what? So like, it's real freedom, right? It's what I've always chased from 1997 till 2017. It took me 20 freaking years to make that happen, but it works. All those nights I thought, this sucks, this doesn't work, how's ever going to work out? I finally can say I'm living the lifestyle that I've designed, right? I designed that as a young boy, and here I am, a 40-year-old man now, and I get to live that. And it lets me do things like I started this podcast telling you I'm off from June 1 to August 23rd. I'm hanging out with my 6 and 8-year-old, and that's it. Only thing I'm doing here is your podcast because we're buddies, and otherwise, I'm going to take a couple phone calls. I'm like, you know, but this and that. I haven't been in my office since, it's only, what's today, June 27th? I haven't been there since June 1st, but that's it. That's all I'm doing, hanging out, have some conversations, you know.
Incredible.
That's what's going on, man.
That's what it's all about. So I usually ask this question at the end of the podcast, but I kind of feel like it just fits in now. The timing is perfect. It took you 20 plus years to get to this point, right? Maybe a little bit less. How do people listening significantly shortcut that time? And by the way, I don't want my people to assume that my question means that I'm asking, how do you not work hard and bust your ass? Because there's, you have to, nothing comes, you're not going to get something for nothing, right? You're going to have to put some time, energy, resources. You got to be smart about it. Like you said, you got to have systems and processes, but how do people take that and shorten it from 20 years to 10 years, or maybe even 5 years, to get to a point where they can experience that freedom that you have now?
So the first thing is nothing's gonna happen overnight. You know, right. I mean, even I always use the example of a doctor. Think of a doctor. They gotta go undergrad school, then medical school, then residency. By the time you call yourself a doctor, you're freaking 30 years old at least, right?
At least.
So there is ramp up time with anything. The best way to shorten these curves now is don't do it the way I did it. Don't try to go to not self-educate yourself. Spend the money, get a mentor, get a coach, get someone who's been there and done that to help you design a plan that's going to get you there quickly. And everybody's situation will be different. If they have money, it can happen a lot quicker, right? Than if you have to do it with owner financing or borrowing private money or taking partners. But sit down with someone who really understands and figure out, what do you want? What do you want? Do you want... My thing was always get enough cash flow to cover my bills, right? Just my bills. And we all have bills. Look, I don't have a mortgage on my house, but I still have bills here. I got taxes, insurance, utilities, grass cutters, housekeepers. No matter what, those are reoccurring. So my biggest goal was get enough cash flow where it at least covers that. And I would have to say, get with someone who understands, design a plan.
Okay.
Go after it, man. Shorten the curve.
Yeah. I think this is a perfect opportunity to ask you about leveraging debt versus not leveraging debt. We've had these conversations, you and I, and I don't know if you recall. So Joe and I met we're part of the same mastermind, and I've heard of Joe's name years prior. Actually, I'm lying. You and I met at one of Mark's at DM's dealathons in West Palm, I think is where we initially met. And then we connected and we built a friendship and a relationship at just masterminds every quarter, right? We met at DM's event, I want to say. Just like
about DMs in Palm Beach at the Breakers.
Yeah. Two and a half years at the Breakers. Right. We were having, great time, man. Great time. But, I've picked a handful of people's brains that, that have pretty large rental portfolios, yours being one of them. And you tend to be on an island as far as I think your thought process. And I mean that in a good way. That's a compliment. Not that they're wrong. It's just different strokes, right? Most people I talk to that have a rental portfolio, the advice is leverage, you know, leverage, and build it that way. Right. I want to say your advice was a little bit different. You say, man, when you don't have, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you know, you can't go broke with a free and clear home and it's all cash flow. What are your thoughts on people that don't have a rental portfolio, want to get into this game for that lifestyle, for the cash flow, or are in this game and they want to do what I did? They want to start to focusing on generating more cash flow. For a lot of people, they're like, man, how do I do that without debt? Can you kind of share some of your thoughts as far as when it comes to leveraging to build a rental portfolio versus trying to go either a creative, like, you know, terms, deals, JVs, et cetera, or even just, you know, using your own cash for the people that have it?
So obviously, you know, if you have nothing and starting with nothing, you have to use, I mean, you have to buy property, you have to have money, or you got to raise money, or you just have no choice. The reason why I choose to keep my portfolio paid off is you weren't standing there with me in 2009 when I was paying 80 mortgages and didn't even know how I was going to pay them sometimes.
It's got to be scary. Yeah.
It's scary, right? You didn't realize, like, when you're calling a tenant, please, please pay the rent today. You know their rent payment's $800 and the mortgage is $520. You're like, just pay $520, dude, and we're cool, right? I don't want to live that again. I didn't like that. It didn't make me feel good. It was a scary place to be. So for me, I'm grateful after all these years to be able to do that paid off portfolio. But you know what? I had to start somewhere. And for those folks listening out there, it doesn't matter. You have to get into the business. You'll figure it out. Maybe if you do get your cash flow up a couple grand a month, instead of going and leasing a new Benz, do a rapid pay down on something. Take $3,000 a month and pick one house and rapid pay that thing down. Yeah. Or something like that, you know? Or it just all depends on what you want, how you want to design it. I was going for the little bit longer game here. I knew it was going to take some time, even taking those 5-year notes. But I wanted all the cash. Like now, and I had, you know, I had to ramp up to it. So
right. So for you, the end game, you knew that you were going to kind of suck wind for 5 years. You weren't going to have much cash flow, if any. But you also knew that in 5 years, these things were just going to be 100% free and clear. So I think when you got into it, it sounds like you knew what the end goal. You knew, you could see the light at the end of the tunnel. That in 5 years, hey, I'm going to suck wind for 5 years, but then at that point, I'm going to have this paid off portfolio, right?
Yes, but I want mine though. I have my own challenges to this day. So I have a ton of rental income coming in, but hold on, my internet connection is unstable. I don't know. So I have a ton of rental income coming in, but I pay high taxes. So I have no mortgage to write it off on. All I really have is, you know, depreciation and then, you know, material, labor, things like that. But otherwise, I pay heavy taxes right now, where I didn't for all those years. Now I do.
Yeah. New set of challenges, right? But nevertheless, and that's the thing, right? Is that people feel like if you have a portfolio, you're going to have a lot of, it's going to offset a lot of your taxable income, but not if you don't have mortgages on them, right? Which is...
It's the blessing and a curse, some might say.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Got it.
Again, that's my style of investing too, you know?
Right. What are some of the challenges or the things that people listening need to be aware of when it comes to building the portfolio and having a portfolio at this point? Because what, you know, you have in-house property management, right? I mean, you didn't go out to a Remax or one of these property management companies and pay them 10%. I mean, this is something that you handle in-house, correct?
Correct. I do all my own stuff in-house. Yeah, I don't third party out right now, but there's a great third party management company here in Cleveland. You use them, Alex. They seem really good. Believe me, there's times I thought of might even be better for me to outsource the property management. I mean, I've honestly thought of doing that several times.
Yeah.
I haven't yet, but it's something that I've thought about. Yeah.
How many team members do you need to manage 100 properties the right way? Couple, two, three?
Yeah, not many. I have a bookkeeper. I have an admin who almost acts as my personal assistant, a leasing agent, a project manager who manages all the subcontractors.
Okay.
And that's it.
Okay.
That's
it. Got it. Last couple questions for you. Is owning rental property passive, or is that a myth? I have my thoughts, but it's a myth. Okay. Can you elaborate a little bit?
Yes. Real estate investing is an active, passive investment. When it goes to passive, you lose money, or you just won't make nearly as much money. You probably do better in the stock market, or hell, maybe even in a CD at the bank. So it's active, passive. Now, there are real estate investments that are truly passive. Lending money, passive. Buying notes, passive. Owning assets, single family homes, active, passive, for sure.
So I'm glad you said that, because I was trying to lead you there, and I don't know if you realized it or not, but you said lending money, and I wanna start to kind of, in the next, I don't know, handful of minutes or so, wrap up the show by talking about some of the types of deals you've been doing lately through, if you're willing to share, with joint venture partners, because for you, that has been truly, truly passive, right?
Truly.
Okay, so break it down. What does this look like?
All right, so there's four components to this, right? There is the acquisition. There is the money, the finance part of it. There is the rehab or operations. Mm-hmm. And there is the disposition, right? Selling the assets.
Sale.
Or mm-hmm. sale, right? Okay, so what I've been doing lately is I am joint venturing with local people around here, whether they are newer investors or contractors, right, who want to be invested in real estate. And I basically said, and then there's four components to this. Which ones do you want to do? The more you do, the more you're going to make. The more I do, the more I'm going to make. So usually they need me to bring the acquisition. So I do. So I have a team that's, you know, good at that. And you know, I'll make money, obviously. I'll charge a wholesale fee, but mm-hmm. I keep the house in my name, right? And then the money, most people don't have money, or access to get money. So yeah. Bank of Uncle Joe comes in and I fund the project. Love doing that. And that's very passive for me, because my money's out. My money's working. You know, I had this little vision about maybe 5-10 years ago of banknotes, my money, anyone's money, right? Over at the bank, sitting in the vault. I literally had this vision, man, of a little $100 bill sitting there smoking cigarettes, drinking alcohol, like almost like sunbathing, like in the vault or something, right? And I was like me going out there working like a mule. I'm like, wait a second, my money's lazy. I'm not gonna let my money be lazy. I'm gonna kick my money in the ass. I'm gonna make it like this little money had little hands and feet. I'm like, you're gonna get your ass out of that bank vault. You're gonna walk outside and go to work for me. And I really thought that, man. And I started doing that, right? So I started lending money. And now my money's actually out at work today. You know, whistle while you work. I just had this crazy things going on in my head.
So as I'm listening to you, I'm getting a vision of the little like puffs of smoke with the little cloud over your head. And you can picture just like a bunch of Benjamin Franklin smoking cigarettes and drinking cognac in a vault while you're like, I got to figure out a better way.
Right. While I'm out there working myself. Like, no, you're lazy money. You get to work, you know? So that's great. So we have that. And then usually my JV partners, they bring operations and rehab to the project. So they'll come in, I'll have them, you know, get vested with a little bit of their money. If these rehabs are usually between, you know, 8 and 15,000, they'll put the money up, they'll go in, they'll rehab it. In order to save money, they'll do their own painting or do their own yard upkeep, you know, instead of subbing that stuff out to increase profits. And then mm-hmm. we'll come in the back end and I'll sell those assets, right? Whether I sell them retail or sell them turnkey to another investor looking for a passive investment, we do a lot of that. And then I take a percent. If I bring the buyer, I take a percentage of the back end. But people are getting invested in real estate for really that JV partner in this scenario for a little bit of money, $8,000 to $15,000. They're in a deal and they're learning. They're learning from the guy who has 20 years experience, you know, bought and sold over 1,000 homes. I mean, you know, I wish I had a me to work with, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's not, you're not just providing the deal and being the lender, but you're also providing some guidance, right?
Of course, you know, people don't know what to do. They don't know, should I replace the cabinets or not, you know? Well, after 22 years, I know we should replace the cabinets or not. I know right now walking the asset. So, you know, they're getting that, and it takes me out of the operations aspect of it. And then on the back end, you know, the sales, I've been doing a lot of financing on the back end too. So if I have investors call me from, gosh, I get a lot of guys in the Miami area. They call me, they say, hey, you know, I want to buy a turnkey asset in Cleveland, Ohio. I finance them, man. Mm-hmm. I've been, you know, they put down, you know, they qualify, but it's once again, it's bank of Uncle Joe. So as long as they have some money down and, you know, they're cool. I like them. I got to like you because I'm a person lending the money and lending on assets. So yeah, cool. So it comes full circle, man. But it took me 20 years to get to that point.
Figure it out. Right. And it sounds like in these transactions, these joint venture deals, there's what, three, maybe four different profit centers. You got your wholesale fee. You got the interest income, right? And if you're charging any, you may or may not be charging points. You mentioned the back end if you sell it. And then sometimes you're offering financing to the end buyer.
Exactly. So I have all these little profit centers set up. Exactly. You know, and I tell the JV partners, the more you guys bring to the deal, the more you're going to make. If you bring acquisition, then you're not going to get charged the wholesale fee. Mm. You know, and if you bring the buyer on the end, I'm not going to take a percentage of the net profit.
Yep.
So it's really just about how much work and ability you want to put into this deal or can put in, the more money you're going to make.
Joe, if I remember correctly, because I remember when you and I spent some time in Cleveland taking a look at some of the assets I bought, you, correct me if I'm wrong, but not only the wholesale fee and the interest income, but don't you also like get a small piece of the deal when they sell it?
I do. So if I bring that buyer, then yeah, I usually take like 25% of the net profit.
Okay. Okay. Got it. But that's if you bring the buyer.
If I bring the buyer.
Okay. Okay. Beautiful, man. Brother, this has been a lot of fun, man. I want to thank you publicly because, and I've told you this before in private, man, but I want to publicly just acknowledge you because you have been, I wouldn't have been able to, I guess, get to this point with, you know, the handful of properties or so that I've bought out in Cleveland without you, without your guidance and without just, you know, you kind of being the boots on the ground in my eyes. Kind of steering me from some mistakes, right? So thank you, man, thanks for the friendship and just for your help as I start to kind of build up that side of the portfolio. I wish I would have started earlier, but you can't look back. You got to move forward, learn from the past and keep your eyes moving forward and making progress. So I appreciate you, man.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate you too.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, where do people connect with you? Reach out if anybody's interested in turnkey assets out there in Cleveland, or maybe they're interested in a joint venture, a JV in some way, shape, or form. What's the best place to connect with you? I know you recently launched a podcast as well, so I want to hear about that.
I did. Yeah, man. I haven't launched my first show yet, but it's coming soon. It's called Cleveland Real Estate Investor. But to reach me, you know, I'm a really easy guy to get a hold of, man. I don't have, you know, I'm not going to call and hit call screens and all that stuff. Call me at the office. It's area code 440-387-4800. I'm right at extension 2. Check me out on the web at clevelandinvestor.com or feel free to drop me an email at rebroker, the numbers 216@gmail.com.
Perfect. As always, guys, we will include Joe's contact information in the show notes page. You know, I've learned so much from Joe in the course of the last year. Hopefully you picked up some nuggets. I'm sure you did. And if you want to interact with me, you want to ask Joe anything, reach out to us. You know, this is a part of the business that I have really just dove into, especially since I'm doing it out of state. And so there's a lot that I've learned in the last 12 months from doing it virtually. It definitely can be done when you have the right people in your corner and you know exactly what you're looking for. So I appreciate you as always for tuning in. I don't take it for granted or lightly that you choose to spend some time here on the Flip Empire Show. So thank you. And Joe, again, man, thank you for the time, my man. I appreciate you.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right. We'll wrap it up. Connect with you guys in the next one.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.